This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Marysville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for a look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will and God's lessons for us in His Word. Many of us at the Marysville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person could benefit from this message. This is not intended to replace the Word of God and somebody getting to church and hearing this in person. I'd like for you to turn with me to Philippians 3:12-14 in the King James Version. And it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus." Also, I'd like for us to look at Revelation 3:14-22, also in the King James Version. And it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the nakedness and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see." He goes on to say, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I can't see the people that's listening to this today, but I just know that nearly everyone has two ears. And so you are a candidate. He said, he that hath an ear. I think some people must think that it says, if any man have a mouth, let him talk. But it said, if any man have an ear, let him hear. I heard a story about a man. He was about to turn 40 years old. He was a weightlifter of sorts. And I guess this crisis of turning 40 was weighing on him pretty heavy. And he said he had a goal to bench press so much by the time he was 40 years old. It was a pretty lofty goal. I don't know much about weightlifting, but I'm thinking it was maybe 400 pounds. Does that sound reasonable? Anyway, he wanted to bench press this weight, and he told a friend of his, he said, "I want you to help me. I want to reach this goal." And the friend said, "I will help you. But," he said, "I want to ask you one thing. Will you give me permission to push?" And the man said, "Yes, I'll give you permission to push." He said, "Are you really sure? Because we've been friends a long time, and if I start pushing you, I don't want anything to come against that friendship. Friends, why don't you let the man of God push you? You can develop so much more if you'll just give him permission to push. If you'll only let him take you so far, then you won't develop it so far." I thought about also my grandson when he was a little boy, about 4 years old. It was back in the day of the Power Rangers, and he was a rock'em sock'em type guy. He loved action. He liked to play like an army man. He liked to crawl on his belly on the floor. He liked to wrestle. He liked to ride my back. And all of these activities kind of tired me out. And I asked him one day, I said, "Do you have anything we can do that we don't have to, we can just sit down and do it?" And he said, "No." And I said, well, I didn't know what to suggest, but I didn't know really how we would play it. But I said, what about school? You want to play school? I thought we might could sit like you would in the classroom. And he said, no, he didn't want to play school. And I said, did you bring anything that we could just sit and watch? And he said, yeah, Nintendo. Well, I didn't know anything about Nintendo. But he explained to me that we could sit down, and that was good enough for me. So I said, well, let's bring it out here. And he hooked it up, 4 or 5 years old, and he could hook that thing up with the TV. And he showed me the two controllers. And he said, I'm going to put it on two players. I said, okay. He said, you go first. And I said, okay. And he was showing me how to maneuver with the controllers. He said, this will make him go this way. This will make him go that way. This will make him jump. This will make him run. And he gave me all the little lesson. And I wasn't really paying that much attention. And I sat down, and it was a game, I think the name of it was Mario Brothers. And I was trying to move this man down this road, and these monsters came out, and I jumped the wrong way, and I was out of the game in no time. He said, it's my turn. I said, okay. So he grabbed a controller, and he went down the road. The monsters did not eat him. I just kept watching. I thought I'd lean my head back, but I wanted to see what he was doing in case we played it again. He went past all of those men that eat me up. The next thing I knew, he was on a motorboat, and then he was on an airplane. Those were screens that I never got to and wouldn't have known that they were there had not I watched him. I'm telling you, children of God listening to this, there are screens that we may never get to, but they're there. We pray to God, and we stop in just a few minutes. And if we keep praying, there are screens, there are things that we can see that we have trouble even believing they're there. How many more screens are there out there that we've never experienced? I thought about people from the 1800s, if they could come back to life, if one of them could be in a time capsule and just suddenly appear over here, and we started explaining things to him that we have that he didn't have in the 18th century, he couldn't get a hold of it. Like a fax machine is just one thing that comes to my mind, that you can put a piece of paper in it here, and it would come out in California in however many seconds, 18 seconds or whatever. There's no way he could believe that. But it wouldn't make it where it wouldn't be so. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand computers, cell phones, and what have you. But the not being able to understand them isn't a prerequisite for me to be able to use them. I can use a cell phone. I can benefit from it, even though I don't know how it works. It's amazing to me that I could go down the road with a cell phone, and somebody I want to talk to be coming facing me the other direction. I might be going 50 miles an hour, and they may be going 55 miles an hour. And the waves from the phone will just bounce right all over the other vehicles and hit the correct one. To me, that just blows my mind, so to speak. And I don't understand it, but I get the benefit and get to speak on a cell phone. When you tell people what they will become, you help set the direction in their life. Zig Ziglar, I heard him say one time that his mentor, his boss, or whoever it was, said, I've been watching you for 2.5 years, and I've never seen such a waste. The reason some people don't live up to their full potential is no one has ever took the time to speak faith into them like God when he breathed life into us. You have a great gift. You could be doing something amazing. You have a great gift or talent. Man's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimensions. Oliver Wendell Holmes. People have a lot of potential lying dormant on the inside, and one of our assignments in this life is to call that potential out, like Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave. We need to call out their seeds of greatness. We need to tell them, come out, wherever you are. Just like that game we used to play, I think it was called Hide and Go Seek, and we'd say, come out, wherever you are. Someone said of Zig Ziglar, said, within hours of my first encounter with Zig, he began challenging me. Zig told me I was designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. There are seeds of greatness within all of us. But if we give somebody permission to challenge us, permission to push us, we can become greater than we ever imagined. We're not born with talent. It's developed. How many of you realize that sometimes God has to push you into another dimension, new provisions? God has to push you into your greatness. The minister also needs to be able to push you, prod you, goad you, and they need your permission for him to push. I'm not mechanically minded. I can't fix your car. I can't build your house, but I might can help you develop spiritually if you let me. You know, babies, when they start to walk, they don't walk the first time usually. I don't know if I've ever known of them walking the first time. But they fall, and they get up, and they try again. And we have to do that way. And when they fall, we don't scold them and get on to them. We just know that's part of the process. So when you see somebody try and fall, don't scold them. Just help them develop. Look around and see who God has put in your life. They're not there by accident. He put them there on purpose. Study them. See what they're good at. What do they excel in? And then speak vision into them. You may see something that they haven't seen yet. One word of encouragement may be all it takes to ignite greatness on the inside when they know that you and someone else believes in them. Don't keep it to yourself. Bible says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. Don't tell people what they are. Tell them what they can become. Your word may be what pushes them into their divine destiny. We all need someone in us to believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. Be the cause of people rising to a new level. Who can I cause to rise higher? What are the seeds of greatness I can call out? One of the saddest things I've ever saw or thought about is wasted talent. Too many people are could have been, should have been, might have been. Be on the lookout to be a blessing. Who can I cause to rise higher? Look for people that's got low self-esteem, low self-worth. Words are so powerful that we underestimate the power of words. Words can play in people's minds years later. I know when I was growing up, I had when I was little, there were grown-ups that played a part in my life, some in a negative way and some in a positive. I had an uncle that he would get me and my brother to help wash his car. It was about 1964. I just smeared over his car, but he would give me a dollar. A dollar in 1964 was a pretty good bit of money to me, and I never forgot him for it, that act of kindness. And now I try to play out and look for people I can help just like he helped me. Call out the seeds of greatness. Set the bar higher. Don't you dare settle for a mediocre life. God didn't make you to drag through life barely making it. He don't want you to be lukewarm, as the scripture said. He wants you to reach, like it says in Philippians, press towards the mark. It's already in you. We just have to call it out. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. God caused Abraham to live in his day, Moses in his, and you in this day. Who knows but that God created you for such a time and a day as this? You can do something that other people can't do. God looked out and said, who can I get to carry out my will in this day? I chose you and you make plans to leave your mark. I believe God wanted me to be born in this time, in this part of the country, to do something here. People rise to a level of our expectations. We have incredible confidence in you. When Jesus chose his disciples, he chose a tax collector, a doubter, and old Peter, an ear chopper offer, etc. People can reach their full potential, but most of the time they need someone else's help. They need someone to push them, stretch them, challenge them. The fact that you woke up this morning, you say, well, I'm too old. The very fact that you woke up this morning is proof enough that God is not through with you yet. Talking about different levels, I heard a man say, with every level comes another new devil. We teach people to count 0 through 9, and then we try to teach them to count 10 through 29. And that's just a continuation of the 0 through 9, except it's a 1 in front of everything. It's a different level. Then you go up the next level, it's a 2. It's the same formula, just a different number, just a different level. When you start trying to stretch something, it may resist a little, but if you keep working with it, it will start to stretch some. If you continue to work on it, it may eventually stretch to limits we never thought possible. How you do anything is how you do everything. Unless you attempt to do something beyond that you can already do, you will never grow. 1 Corinthians 2, 6-16 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." He said the hidden wisdom. Friends, he didn't hide it from you. He hid it for you for the time when you're ready. He's a master of hiding. They were going to kill the little children in Moses' day, and God caused his mother to hide him in an ark in the river. And who comes by but Pharaoh's daughter? The daughter of one that was trying to kill him. She hides him. Where does she hide him? In Pharaoh's house. Is that a master of hiding? It most certainly is. I heard a man say that he had a pocket watch for his son before he ever was born. But when he was born, he didn't give it to him. He couldn't handle it then. God is just waiting on you to be able to handle what he wants to give you. He said many times the little boy had crawled right around where the pocket watch was, but he didn't even know it was there. And that's the way we are. We don't even know God's gifts are there sometimes because they're hidden from our eyes. This scripture I'm reading goes on and says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." That doesn't come through the ears and the eyes. Knowledge is information. That comes through the eyes and the ears. But wisdom comes with revelation, which don't come through the two ears on the side of your head. It comes through the revelation of God. "But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." If you go down to the Tennessee River or to some ocean, there's treasures hidden down there. The things you see on the surface, they're not worth very much. You have to go down deep. But if you jumped off of a ship to go down into the deep of the ocean to hunt for treasures, if you didn't have special equipment on, your lungs would burst. You have to put on special equipment. And it's the same spiritually. The natural man can't go after those things. It takes the spiritual man. You have to put on charity. You have to put on faith. And all those things the Bible talks about. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The deep things of God. You can go down to the Gunnersville, go through Gunnersville, and those ships are sitting at the same place every time you go by. They have them named. You can go to church, and most of the time the people are sitting in the same locations. They park in the same place. But all the time we go and come and come and go, and we leave the treasures sitting there. He didn't want us to be lukewarm. I read that earlier. He wants us to be on fire, like the coals of an old outdoor way we used to grill before the gas grills. Put those coals in there. One touches against another, and another touches against another, and they ignite each other. He said, pressing towards the mark. That's stretching yourself. You don't look in the rearview mirror. You keep looking straight ahead. Whatever you look at when you're driving, that's where you have a tendency to go. I hope you've enjoyed this today. I've enjoyed delivering it to you. My prayer is that you can make it. And I pray that God will wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. My prayer to God is that many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email DaleCantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, all lowercase, the number 2@gmail.com. Meridianville Homeless Church is located at 1285 Stigger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, but any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama. If you do not live near the Meridianville area but would still be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will get you to the nearest church location closest to where you're at. If you would like for you to come visit us, and if you just want to stay through the singing and then need to leave, we won't feel bad at you at all. We'll try to make you as welcome as we know how. The Meridianville Holiness Church has services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 5 p.m. May God wonderfully bless you. It's my prayer. If I can help you, please let me know.